Welcome to the Nightly Rant with your hosts, Mike
and Toria.
This is the show where we examine society from a sarcastic point of view.
If you like insane conversations, this is definitely the show for you.
Let's get into today's topic.
So I'm excited.
Why are you excited now?
Because we have a guest today.
A guest?
It's been we have Kurt Sasso with us today. Hi, Kurt. How you doing?
Oh, good. How are you guys doing?
Glorious. It's nice to outnumber the Americans for once.
Well, we gotta do this whole True North thing, you know, the above the 42nd parallel and all that jazz, right?
Exactly.
So tell me about yourself, though. Like, what is it that you're up to in life?
Well, life has passed me by for 45 years, but for the most part, I've been doing a show called Two Geeks Talking, which is an entertainment industry interview show where we interview the creative people from the comic, film, TV, movie, and video game industries. And I've been doing that for about 15 plus years, and 1,200 some odd interviews later, I've kind of lost count after these years, but a lot of great people, a lot of great conversations, and you know, I got to meet Stan Lee once as he was whisked out of a comic convention floor by four of the largest Detroit linebackers I've ever seen. So it was one of those interesting experiences.
I think you officially have the longest running show of anybody that I've spoken to.
Well, it's not for lack of trying. It's for persistence and stubbornness, I guess. Canadian stubbornness, maybe. I don't know if that's the same thing, but it works out for me.
Well, I was talking to somebody today about this very show and how Tori and I, we didn't really expect it to make it past like the first 10 episodes. And we just released number 536.
Congrats.
So
we encouraged a man in our apartment building to play trash bag basketball. And since then, which was like episode number what, like 17 or something, we've been trying to top how funny that episode was. And it hasn't happened.
Yeah, well, spontaneous stuff like that's always funnier. But so what is, like, do you take your show out places to, like, on site to interview people, or do people come to you, or do you do it virtually? You know, how do you usually handle that?
A lot. Well, ever since that whole pandemic thing, everything's been virtual for me. But even before the pandemic, everything was kind of virtual for me. I was doing everything usually over Skype or Zoom or wherever, but I would go to comic conventions. I would go to like Chicago C2E2 and Toronto's Fan Expo Canada. And I would do those types of live events where I would just bring my camera and my voice recorder, my Zoom there, and just do a one-on-one style interview and just have some fun with it. And it was just a blast to do. It takes a lot of prep work, a lot of time, a lot of editing. And a lot of the times you're trying to also enjoy the comic convention and the people that you're chatting with, but it's always great to see familiar faces, those that have been on the show or those that, you know, you see in Artist Alley and things like that. And, you know, food's always great for me to have afterwards. So that's always a blast, depending on the city I'm visiting.
So I would imagine that you often go out to eat, obviously, if you're not at home. Who pays?
Usually if it's my friends and I, will, if we're like ordering like a platter or something like that, we'll split, we'll go 50-50. If I'm with like, say, a guest or whatever, then we'll still do 50-50. If there's like a group of like 20 or more, there's no way I'm paying for everyone. So, you know, I can only go so far with my own finances. So,
so then, honey, I'm hungry. I think after we're done recording, you should buy me dinner.
How do you always tie this in so well when I have an Am I the Asshole ready for us to go? And you just somehow lead me in there perfectly. I don't get it. But I have an Am I the Asshole for you people if you'd like.
Sixth sense. That's out.
Maybe seventh. You never know.
Let's hear it.
All righty. So, Am I the Asshole for dumping my girlfriend after she expected me to pay for everyone on her her birthday? I, 24 male, and my now apparently ex-girlfriend, 24 female, have been dating for 4 years. On my girlfriend's 24th birthday 2 weeks ago, I booked a table at a pretty nice restaurant for me, her, and four of her friends. I want to clarify beforehand that I earn quite a bit more than my girlfriend. I cover all the rent and utilities for our apartment, while she covers household expenses like groceries, etc. Well, at the restaurant, I noticed how she and all her friends ordered some of the most expensive items on the menu. At the time, I thought I would be only covering mine and my girlfriend's bill, so I wasn't really concerned. When the bill arrived, and the waiter asked if I would like to split the bill, I said yes. I told the waiter what my girlfriend and I ordered would be on me, and the rest should be decided between her friends. The bill totaled around 1,100 euros. Holy Toledo, man. I remember the smiles being wiped off their faces as soon as I said that. I end up paying for my girlfriend's food and mine, while her friends paid for theirs. I remember the car ride home being awfully silent. I kept asking my girlfriend if something was wrong, but she kept insisting that she was just tired. And no, she wasn't just tired. My girlfriend ended up giving me the silent treatment for the next entire week. I would keep asking her if something was wrong, but she would always refuse to say what the issue was. The thought of me not paying being the culprit kept creeping into my mind, but I would always reassure myself by telling myself that my girlfriend wouldn't be dumb enough to expect me to pay for everyone's meal. I just lost it last Monday and demanded an answer from her. She ended up telling me that I embarrassed her in front of her friends by not paying for everyone. I asked her why it was my responsibility to pay, and she told me that since I organized everything and I was the man, I was obligated to pay for everyone. We ended up getting into a heated argument, and I ended up staying at my parents' house for the next couple of days to gather my thoughts. Came home last Friday, and her attitude towards me didn't change one bit. When I confronted her again, she told me to transfer the money to her friends, transfer the money her friends paid for the food, and only then would she speak to me. We got into another heated argument, and I broke up with her then and there, telling her to pack her things and get the F out of my apartment. While leaving, she called me a broke boy and wished me good luck finding another girlfriend with my brokey mentality. I almost immediately regretted dumping her on the spot for something that in the grand scheme of things is really small. She sent me an apology yesterday for calling me those names, but she insisted on me paying back her friends if I wanted to make our relationship work. I have been a mess since. I don't want to throw away 4 years with someone I consider to be the future mother of my kids. I could have given her friends a heads up that I wouldn't be covering for them, and I know that's completely my fault, but her behavior over the past 2 weeks has also been quite concerning. But again, I love her too much for the situation to be the end of our relationship. I just want to swallow my pride and send her friends the money and forget about everything. Am I the asshole here? Spectacular.
Sounds like you dodged a bullet, to be honest. I'm just going to jump in here. I mean, first off, love is fleeting. You know, we're only on this world for a short amount of time. Chivalry, to a certain extent, is not really dead. But, like, you know, if this was a one-on-one where it was like him and his girlfriend going out and it's her birthday and blah, 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 and it was just them, then okay, I could understand that. But when you tag along the entire, you know, she gang for the rest of the birthday there, you know, all bets are off and away you go. So he's well within his rights to not pay for their dinner. And the fact that they were expecting it tells more about her and her friends than about him as a person.
Yeah, I was going to say that I have a similar but different situation that's occurred. And the difference is that, you know, in this situation, it's friends. And like, granted, he invited those friends and he admits that he didn't clarify with them, you know, that he wasn't paying, but they're all adults and they're not family. See, in my situation, it was always, you know, we had my mom and then we had my sister, my brother, and me. And so my sister had her and her husband and her kids. I had me and my wife. And then there was my brother and my mom. That was it. And he would pick every year for her birthday, he would pick like the restaurant that we would go to. And he made probably, I'm not exaggerating, 10 times what the rest of us made. So he'd pick a restaurant that was 10 times what the rest of us made too. And first two couple years, nothing was said. Then all of a sudden, the third year, he sends us a bill for a third of the bill each. And we're like, well, hold on a second. You know, you never said anything in advance. And then you chose the restaurant. Like, if we were expected to pay, you got to ask us, is this, what's our budget? Because, you know, we're not as rich as you are. And so, you know, in the end, my mom spoke to him and told him, you know what, you can't be asking them to pay when you don't tell them ahead of time. They're family. That's the difference. Those were not family. Those are her friends. He was nice enough to make the reservation, invite them, etc. They should be expecting to, you know, honestly, in my opinion, they should be expecting to not just pay for their own, but maybe chip in a little bit towards her meal. Mm-hmm. It's her birthday. You know, everyone's celebrating. Let's make it cost as little as possible. I don't know. I think that you're right. I think he dodged a major bullet here. I mean, let's especially that after all of that, she's going to still say to him, oh, well, until you send them back their money, I'm not talking to you. She's not into him.
Just one real quick point. I apologize. I think even better is the fact that, you know, $1,100 or euros for the dinner, how much would be a wedding? Sorry, that's all I wanted to.
It's a good point.
It is a good point.
Let's not forget the fact, though, that her four lovely friends also ordered the most expensive things on the menu.
Yeah.
They ordered the most expensive things on the menu, expecting him to pay. Gold digging skank.
You know, current exchange rate, that's $1,185 here. Wow. In U.S. So you're right. Like, that's expensive, man. Like, wow.
And the fact that, you know, he didn't even invite any of his friends. Like, if you wanted to make this a birthday celebration, you know, he should have at least invited four of his friends to balance it out. Not, you know, be expected to say, hey, you know, you invited, you know, I'm inviting your four best friends, you know, let me invite my five best friends. We'll make this a real party and, you know, kind of go from there and whatever. But yeah, he's.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that the fact that he like kept it to like him and her friends, he was trying to make it about her, which, you know, it should be. But for whatever reason, I'm kind of proud of him for on the spot just being like, nope, I'm paying for her and me. They're going to have to figure out how the rest gets paid.
I'm not caving in to the crazy.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of him for that because it could have gone a completely different way.
Now, the problem is, though, is there an update to that post? Because it sounds like he's going to cave, and I hope he doesn't.
At some point.
Yeah.
I think the Friday he was speaking of was just this past Friday. It's an active MID asshole with no resolution yet.
What are the comments basically saying?
That she was looking for a gold mine to dig in. That was my favorite that I read. I didn't see a single one that didn't agree with all of us. And the only comments that were made against him were that he probably should have discussed with her friends beforehand who was going to pay, because if they couldn't afford to go to an 1,100 euro for six people dinner, then he probably should have picked something cheaper.
Yeah. But I'm...
Yeah. You know, that is probably the only mistake that he made. Mm-hmm. But
so, I mean, he made a mistake, but he's not an asshole. Right.
But I don't know about you, but if you and I were invited by like someone from Rachel's family to a restaurant that we're like, holy cow, man, that place is way out of my league. I can't afford that. I would speak up and say, hey, I can't afford to go to that restaurant. You know, so I'm going to have to pass and just be
and
honest.
Give him the option to say, hey, I'll pay for you. When you do
that. Yeah. What's that?
And give him the option to say, hey, yeah, I'll pay for you. Please come. Or I mean, say, then let's pick something different.
I wouldn't expect that, but it's an option, right? Like, I mean, someone could say that. I've said it to people before. I've literally said this to people in advance. I'll say, you know what? Toria wants to go here for her birthday. She would love for you to come, and don't worry, I'll cover it.
Yeah.
You know, and you just
Toria
tell
picks
them
things
front.
Like Yogurt Land for her birthday.
Yeah.
So much more lactose intolerance then.
Exactly.
Look, if you went to the Cheesecake Factory, I'd be there in a heartbeat. But you know, Yogurt Factory, that's kind of where I have to draw the line. Sorry about this.
I could do Cheesecake Factory. I'm always into Cheesecake Factory.
You and foods, man.
That's the one thing I regret about going to Chicago and not going to the Cheesecake Factory. I took a photo outside of the Cheesecake Factory. I didn't go in. That's my mistake. But I did do ribs. The ribs were amazing and the pizza was
Yeah, their food. their entire menu, there's hot spots and cold spots, basically, I always say. And you have to avoid the cold spots.
Cheesecake Factory's kind of got nothing on Cheesecake Cafe in Canada, though.
There's a Cheesecake Cafe? Cheesecake.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It might be a Western thing. Mm. But it's like it's the same general concept that they have like a full sit down menu and then they have like cheesecake aisle as you walk in.
Okay.
So how stereotypical Canadian are you?
It depends on how much I've had to drink, maybe. I can slide. So for me, accents were always my thing. And I used to work with a guy from Newfoundland. So whenever we work side by side, I go, "How's she going, me trout?" And we'd just go off on a bit of a Newfoundland, Nova Scotian rant there about everything and just have a blast. And but no, I'm more, my accent comes through every so often depending on story and about. But when it comes to, say, I guess my regional accent, because I'm Southwest Ontario, I sound more like I'm in the Michigan area because that's who we're close to. So you can hear hints of it, but yeah, I'm not so stereotypical that I like the Toronto Maple Leafs. I have my limits. So I'm a Detroit fan, no matter what team it is. So
I could pick you out of a line of people as Canadian in a second. I don't even know why. Something about you.
It could be our features. It could be, you know, just some subtle vowel enunciations, or the fact that we enunciate all of our words. I guess that'd be the other thing. But
when we're driving around in Vegas, there's a lot of Canadians here, especially this time of year. They're starting to evacuate, but there's a lot of them. And we'll see an Alberta or a British Columbia license plate because I'm from like right on the border.
Oh, geez.
And my people is what I
yell. Yeah. Yeah. That's why I asked, though. So tell me what's been like an episode of your show recently that you're particularly excited about that you've already released?
Oh, that I've already released. I would have to look real quick.
Go for it.
Bear with me. So I'm scheduled into like May, June right now. But who's my more famous one more recently? I had a director from Japan, which was rather interesting. He did a documentary called Carving the Divine. That was rather interesting. I had a Hollywood producer, executive producer, Jonathan Bogner, who lost his ability to speak and had a heart transplant. And then he gained all of his vocabulary back. So that was an in-depth conversation.
How weird is that?
Yeah. Oh, he also got a female heart transplant. So
is that unusual?
Well, he's a 60 some odd year old male who got a female heart transplant, which apparently mellowed him out because of the female heart being more estrogen based than testosterone. So that was rather interesting. And then it took him like 3 or 4 years to get his speech back. So he, being a Hollywood producer, not being able to speak and pitch shows like reality shows and actual documentaries and things like that, he just basically let his PDF and his pitch decks do the speaking. And then he'd smile and nod and they'd buy what he'd create because either they felt bad for him or he's just that good of a salesman, he didn't need to speak. So.
That's a crazy story.
Those are some fun ones, actually. Yeah, he's really good. And I've had I had one of the producers from the Jerry Springer show on. So I mean, that was a fun experience. Rena Friedman Watts. She's an amazing person. She has her own podcast, and so we've had some great conversations over the past 2 years. But yeah, I mean, I've interviewed like Jason Mewes from Jay and Silent Bob. I've interviewed. Gosh, who else? Leonardo from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Brian Tochi. I've interviewed cast of Lost Girl. I've interviewed a ton of like group media sessions and things like that. So it's hard to kind of pinpoint one more recent one that's like a super famous one, but they're all amazing in their own right, because I think it's just one of those things where they're just a new story to tell about their lives. And I just love speaking to them because unless they've been on the show, I don't know who they are, and other than my research.
Yeah, I know. Like I have a tech show that I do, and I have a VA that does research on them first. And then I read through the research like for that week, I read through it usually Sunday night. And then again, before getting on the show, and like the one time I'm like, you know, talking to this guy, and all of a sudden he tells me, you know, where he works from. And I'm like, my gosh, like that's one of the biggest softwares. How did I not know? How did I not realize this as I was reading through all the research, you know? So yeah, it's weird how people cross your paths and you don't expect it.
Yeah. But it's also interesting because, you know, like those little tidbits you hear, sometimes you have a set amount of questions you get to ask them. That's like, they say something like one of their hobbies and it's just like, oh, you like that as well. Oh, okay. Forget these questions. We're diving right into this now. This is more exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's why, I mean, I honestly, with my tech show, I don't prepare questions ahead of time. I prepare like directions that I want to go, but when I push them in the direction, whatever they say, I kind of play off of that. And I get a lot of compliments for my interview style, and I don't think it's that great myself, but it's easy because you just, okay, you said this, that's, I think this and this were interesting. There's two avenues for questioning. Let's go down there. So it's always fun. But it also helps. I feel like when you ask the questions organically, it helps pay attention to every word they say, because that's really important. You only have, you know, this little bit of time to react to somebody when they're on a show like this. And if you missed something, it's like, what did you say? And you look stupid. So I think it's important. And you know, we've had guests on who like, they talk so fast that you go, I actually have to read a transcript to understand what they actually said.
Like the Banana Man.
Yeah.
He was a fast talker. We had a man come on our show and he showed up like you did. But instead of a virtual background, he was wearing a banana suit.
Okay. That's
interesting.
That's what I said. Alrighty then.
Yeah. And then she sends me a message, hurry up and come on. This guy is on here and he's wearing a banana suit. And I'm like, come on, what the heck is she? And I'm envisioning a guy in like a three-piece suit, but it's made with banana fabric, right?
Yeah.
No. Banana. No. Old banana. It was hilarious.
You have a banana on your hat. You have no room.
Well,
that's what I noticed when you said that.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'm wearing my Savannah Bananas hat.
Yeah, I was gonna say that.
So I noticed you enjoy sports.
Yeah.
What sports do you like?
Well, I mean, it depends. Watching or playing, I guess that would be.
Watching.
Both.
Okay.
She wants both.
Watching both. First, okay. Then playing.
Okay. Well, for me, watching, I mean, I love all the four major sports, you know, baseball, basketball, football, and hockey. I mean, being Canadian, if I don't like hockey, I have to turn in my citizenship. So, I mean, there is that stipulation. Yeah, exactly. But for me, I think more exciting, it would be, if I had to put them in order, I think it would be hockey, baseball, football, then basketball. I mean, the Pistons suck, but it is what it is. And then in terms of playing, like I enjoy golf for me. I think it's just, I don't have to worry about focusing on a ball or whatever, but I did play football in high school. I mean, not very well, but I played it. And well, I mean, Canadian football is a lot faster paced than American football at that. So, longer fields, shorter sidelines, harder hitting, you know, it is what it is, but
250 yard lines that make everything extra confusing.
We never pay attention to those anyhow. It's just, where's the end zone? Try to run for it. But I did martial arts as well. I did Japanese jiu-jitsu for over 10 or 15 years. So that was a fun time. And being short, 5'3", throwing people twice my size was a blast. I always enjoyed that.
That's exciting stuff.
Yeah.
And you cheer for all teams Detroit, right?
Yes. Yeah. All teams Detroit, no matter how bad they suck, I have to put in that stipulation.
So you suffer in football the way I suffer in football. My favorite football team is the Denver Broncos. So
I'm sorry.
You know, I'm surprised I'm still alive. If I was one who took sports that seriously, I'd probably have killed myself soon enough.
But at least you have weed in Colorado, right? That helps.
Yeah. And Vegas.
And Vegas. Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, we knew we were moving here like 5 years before we moved here. So that was when the Knights first started. So we mm-hmm. started following them right away. And of course, our first year here, they won the Stanley Cup, which was
completely rigged. Exciting. But yes, I mean, that was, talk about a Cinderella story. There's no way that an expansion team other than the Colorado Avalanche go out, win their first year, get a Stanley Cup, and Gary Bettman is happy because, oh, look, an expansion team done that. Yet a Canadian team has not won a Stanley Cup since 1993, which is ironically the exact same year Gary Bettman got into office. So
it's going to be Winnipeg this year.
It's not going to be Winnipeg.
I know.
As much as
Winnipeg.
you mean murder capital of Canada? What now?
Yes. Winnipeg, murder peg, whatever. I'm in.
You guys are funny.
Play good hockey.
It's sad though, because like we had for this time of the year, we had XFL football. Okay. And it was kind of hokey a little bit, but it was fun. And, you know, we had season tickets last year. But like, I got to say, I'm kind of salty towards them. They went through this whole merger and acquisitions thing and they killed off a bunch of the teams. Well, the last thing they told us was, oh, you're going to be getting your season ticket deposit request it like by next Tuesday. That was the last thing they said. And then the next thing, there's no Vegas team. They don't send out an email to say, hey, we're really sorry, but there's no longer a team. They just, you know, ghost you. So I was like, I noticed that this week was their first games of the season, of the new season, and I just kind of ignored it. I was like, I'm just not going to pay you any attention.
It's nice
more into the baseball right now anyway, because it's what just started.
So. Yeah. That's, you know, it's always an exciting time. I mean, at least the Tigers got a brand new announcer too since the passing of Jim Price, and he's kind of exciting working with Dan Dickerson there, and it's great to kind of hear baseball, because I have no idea who any person is on the Tigers team at all for the past like 3 or 4 years. They've been a complete, you know, oh, now we have a team with completely brand new rookies and completely brand new management and blah, blah, blah. It's like, cool. This is, I don't have to be, you know, invested financially or, you know, emotionally into this team. I can just catch them when I catch them.
That's sometimes when it's the most exciting, though, is when they're brand new, up and coming. And if the team was put together well, you know, you could watch this team turn into a championship caliber team at some point. You never know.
Well, I still think that similar to Canadians in hockey, Canadian teams in hockey, I should say, any Detroit team will always be put down by whoever the commissioner is of the whatever league it is. Because
I'm going to give him a sports tinfoil hat.
Yeah. No. Well, look, I mean, you live and die in terms of your sports teams here, especially down south or at least in southwestern Ontario. And it's either conspiracy theory against Toronto, no matter what team it is, or conspiracy theory against Detroit, no matter which team it is. And
yep.
For me, it is Alan Trammell and Lou Whitaker not being in the Baseball Hall of Fame. They should have gone in together. They never have. In fact, they never got voted in. They got into the old timers vote. And then you have, other than the 90s Red Wings, you have the chance that the Tigers had a chance in 2006 on. And the only reason why they never made it was because Mark McGwire and the St. Louis Cardinals and all that BS. So, and then the Lions are just, you know, other than this year, which was lightning in a bottle, and I hope they do well next year, but 50 plus years, 60 plus years of horrible football, besides team management, that's also the NFL. So, and then the Pistons are just god awful, and that's their own fault.
Well, it's like, you know, I'm sure you no doubt have heard that the Oakland A's will in a couple of years become the Las Vegas A's. And people are like, oh, my God, we're going to get the worst team in baseball. And I keep thinking to myself exactly what you said. They're going to come here and baseball is going to make damn Skippy sure that if they don't win the World Series, that Absolutely. They at least play in the World Series. That's what's going to happen.
It's a champion city. I mean, we had the Aces, the WNBA team has been the champion twice in a row, and then the Knights. So, I mean, it's expected here. And if you suck, the locals are going to whine. Nobody wants to anger the locals.
Well, I mean, to be fair, Oakland had a chance when Billy Beane put together that incredible team of misfits, basically, in that one year. And then, to be fair, there's a lot of aspects that other teams took from that, and then they're like, okay, we can do this in any system, any whatever, and then in a way they went, but which is how Boston finally won a World Series, which is completely ironic, but it is what it is. There's always going to be, you know, you're passionate about your fans, you're passionate about your teams, and we're always going to try to make our teams seem better than they probably actually were. So,
well, yeah, I mean, like that Boston thing, that Boston thing, it was interesting that, you know, they come back from 3-0 against the hated Yankees, you know, yeah. and then sweep the World Series. Like that was just, you have to kind of feel like, I wonder who wrote that script. You
know? Yeah. It's the same with the the Guardians now, winning their World Series, you know.
Yeah.
It's, and then the Cubs, and, you know, Detroit is the only team next to the Orioles, I think, who have not won a World Series since the 80s.
Lot of years. I've been, this year, my kids got us to play fantasy hockey with them.
Oh, cool.
And
glorious.
So nice. I convinced them to play fantasy baseball with us.
Okay.
And I'm using it because, you know, they've never really gotten into baseball, and baseball is kind of the sport that, you know, I grew up loving. And so what I've been doing is got them involved in that. So they're paying attention to the games and the players and whatnot. And then I've been going on YouTube and finding like classic moments in baseball history, like Kirk Gibson, you know, in 1988 World Series, you know, hits the walk-off home run, you know, stuff like that. And I send it to them and I'm like, this is what I think is like probably the most exciting moment in Dodgers history right here. Mm-hmm. And then I'll say, oh, here's this. And I was telling Toria that I'm just teaching them to like parts of baseball. I mean, I don't expect them to love all of baseball, but since they like sports so much, I want them to see the beautiful moments from the sport. And some of the videos are funny to watch. I remember watching this stuff when I was younger,
yeah.
But like the TV is square, mm-hmm. and it looks like somebody painted them on the screen. You know, they're so grainy. It's the funniest thing.
Well, you got to show them the Gibson 84 home run against San Diego, yeah. Because I think that alone just, but you got to get it where Sparky Anderson is basically saying, like, you know, Godrich is like afraid of him type deal. That just,
yeah.
That just completely ticked off Gibson right there. And slams, yeah. A home run, but I think that was the first time, what was it, that a player had won both the American League and National League with a home run, a World Series.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I could go on and on like this forever, but
so could I. For days, we're kind
of running
baseball.
Out of time. So why don't you let people know where they can find you if they want to connect?
Sure.
And and also, don't forget to tell them how to find your show.
Yeah, well, the easiest way to find me, and there's a couple of places, but I'll do my outro as I do. And you can find me on a variety of different websites, which is tgtmedia.com or twogeekstalking.com. That's T-W-O. Website's going through a complete rebuild. So go to our YouTube channel. That's always updated, youtube.com/tgtmedia. The podcast you can find at twogeekstalking.podbean.com or just search Two Geeks Talking wherever you get your podcasts. And as I say every week, everyone has a story to tell. It's up to me to help bring that out. Thanks for listening and watching on Two Geeks Talking.
Well, on that fantastic note, good night, everyone.
Hasta la bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to The Nightly Rant.
If you enjoyed the show, please give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Google Play.
If you didn't enjoy the show, please just ignore that previous request for a rating.
This has been a Yogi's Podcast Network production.